Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What?
Face is cold.
Yeah, it's cold in here. You know, we were warned ahead of time, too. And we thought, I'll wear a pullover.
Yeah,
and,
I'll wear a hoodie.
Wear something warm, a warm shirt. No, forget it. Bring the jacket next time.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Full blown.
Yeah. We've been going out in the hallway during breaks to warm up.
Oh.
I don't think it's very cold outside today.
No.
It's rather humid this morning.
Yeah. Muggy.
Got to thank our friends at Flatbread for bringing us lunch over.
Rich Certainly mentioned them this morning.
Classy.
Like, go to Flatbread.
Very nice.
And then Flatbread was like, well, why don't we bring Flatbread to you?
Yeah.
So where are they?
They're downstairs.
Yeah. Okay,
on Guest Street in Brighton.
Right on Guest.
Unbelievable. The amount of the pizza and the salad and everything they brought up here. And it's all fantastic.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we don't get too many places.
Like healthy,
people must think we're just like full of it every time anyone brings us any sort of food here. But like, we don't get bad food drops. You realize that?
No.
No one has sucked when they bring us
food. There was one. There was one time somebody brought something at the other place.
It was a plank of wood,
and it was wrapped in tinfoil with like four pieces of cheese and two little pieces of meat on it. And a little scoop of pate, and like, here's for your six people.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But yeah.
Pardon us without mentioning it.
I'm not sure they're in business anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think I know why.
It's kind of cool that they wrapped that piece of wood that they picked up from construction.
That was years ago, though.
Yeah. It's like one bad one.
5 or 6 years
ago. It's like one bad one.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
No, not at all. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us here for another hour.
Yes.
It's only noontime. Oh, we've gotten a lot of things today.
Yeah,
so far. Okay, let's pick up where we just left off, though, which is, what if Price is terrible on Sunday in game two?
Yeah.
What if he stinks, Dan? Then what? Where do you go from
you're
there?
Really looking, you're really looking to move in this guy.
No, I'm talking about in the series, though. Starting the series. Right. Like, what do you do next?
You're
going to pitch him again?
Bullpen.
If you get that far?
I'm sure they have some sort of a plan on this because, you know, it's like if a guy gets injured or something, I think he would start again. I
do. Oh, God.
And it would be game six at Fenway.
What are you doing to us?
It's they're really counting on this working is I think, the takeaway. They think this is going to work.
Are they really fearful of lefties pitching in Houston?
I think there's that. And again, the geeks are definitely involved in this thing. And also, the core component of, you know, we believe in David, that kind of thing, and hoping that the other players see that and they value that. And they won't turn on me when things aren't going good. So
what's the issues in Houston? I can't remember from being down there. You know, we were in that ballpark. We walked it. Is it extremely short and right? Or
I mean, they made it look.
It's just a hitter's park?
I mean, it was last year when Sale had a real bad game.
I don't remember
game
where it's cut differently and, you know, you know, like Yankee Stadium.
It's very asymmetrical. It's asymmetrical.
Okay.
They used to have a hill in center field, which they took away. It's got the locomotive going out there in left
field.
That
thing's awesome.
Yeah, that thing's pretty cool.
I love it.
You know, but I mean, pitcher's park, hitter's park. I think it's more of a hitter's park. And again, they made it look like a hitter's park last year because Altuve hit two home runs. You know, it was just they were just running around the bases.
Played the Lions in Detroit when Ford Field's actually attached right there to where the Tigers play.
Yeah.
And I mean, just I walked around that one. That's awesome. Those are awesome ballparks.
It is. And Pittsburgh's got that same deal.
Yeah.
Right next to each other. I love that down there. It's beautiful.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we like that. It's good.
Yeah, but I mean, so you think Price could potentially pitch again if he implodes on
Sunday? One of you was saying, you know, it's like with the Mafia. You think you think you're out and then you're in again.
Beetle.
And with Price, you know, I'm always like this close to just saying, you know, he's not that bad. He's pretty good.
But I mean, the numbers during the regular season support that. I mean, you're 40 games above or 20 games above 500 this year?
Yeah. His career, this is Red Sox, 39-19.
39-19.
20 over. And
that's pretty good.
They won almost. Excuse me. They won almost every game he pitched this year. Sorry, I had to cough. It's not going to get better in this climate either.
I could barely hear it.
So they think that they think it's going to be good. And they won most of his games this year. The weird part is his 10 career postseason starts, his team has lost every game. It's not just he's 0-9. His team has lost every time he has started a playoff game. So, I mean, maybe it's like, well, sooner or later, it's got to change.
But does it? I mean, I agree
with you. Not necessarily.
You know, in most times you say, you know what, for people that are viewed as longtime losers or can't get over the hump, like most in any sport, guys, I know Felger's big on this. He always says every dog has his day. And for the most part, that's true, right?
Like
everyone who, if you suck long enough, the luck will turn and you'll end up eventually having a good start in there somewhere.
He's healthy. He's, you know, 31 or 2 years old. He won 16 games this year.
Yeah.
They won like 70 or 80% of his starts. Yada, yada, yada. He beat the Astros in Houston in a series where they were going to go down 0-3. I mean, all those things point in your favor. It's just this one little thing about the postseason because we don't have the Yankee component now. We have the postseason thing only. And Porcello had never won a postseason game. He was, I only think he had 3 or 4 starts, but he had pitched 11 postseason games. So he finally got a win. Sale.
But the expectations for a guy like Porcello are not, I know that he's a Cy Young Award winner now and all that. It's not what it is for Price. It just isn't.
No, and Sale turned the beat around with his one start because he got rocked in his one start last year.
Didn't you love his answer on, you know, what did you learn from last year? And he said, not to suck or don't suck.
Don't suck. Yeah. No, he's good with the answers.
He's a man of few words.
No, it's like when Johnny Miller asked him to talk about his success against the Yanks this year. The answer was no.
Can you? No.
That was great.
Cody is all the way in Germany today calling the show.
Wow, this is good.
Cody.
How's it going?
Hello. Hey.
Hi, Cody.
So I got a question about this whole negativity thing. I've been listening for a little bit. What I don't understand the issue in Boston with the negativity around the pitching decision and not playing Brock Holt the next day. Why is Boston so negative? This is a storied franchise. What's the issue?
How are the two related?
Buckle. Yeah.
No, I was listening earlier, and there's just two of the issues that were brought up. I'm a huge Astros fan, and I love Alcora. Great guy. But
you haven't seen David Price pitch in the playoffs.
I don't think it's just his
decision. It's not what?
Yeah, but like you said, it's got to turn around someday for him, right?
Well, that's what we've been talking about.
And how the law of averages
should catch up with David Price. And at some point, he should have a good postseason start. But it hasn't happened yet. And he got chased early from the friendly confines of Fenway Park the other night. And I think for the most part, you know, to kind of like stick up for Fenway people and for the Red Sox fans, they don't think that Price shouldn't pitch again. They understand and realize his value and understand he should get another start, but let's do it in a position that might make more sense, say
a softer landing,
a warmer climate, you know, for him.
We're only going to pitch once in a series
where he's had issues. Look,
as opposed to potentially twice.
Red Sox fans have seen this a number of times now. As far as the Brock Holt thing, I don't know. Look, if that was about the cycle thing and you heard the negativity about that, that's people just...
That was a righty-lefty thing. Cora's right.
Yeah, see, and it's like, oh, you're going to play Brock Holt the next day? And I thought they wouldn't. It's like, it makes sense. They didn't do it.
Nope,
and it's the right thing to do. Yeah. And it just goes to show you, as neat a thing as the cycle is, it doesn't mean you automatically play the next day if that's not in what's supposed to happen according to the plan. I don't think that's negativity. I think that's a lot of people recognizing what was going on and seeing it, you know, for what it is, both with Brock Holt not playing in that game and with David Price and the questions about where he's going to get the start or starts, plural, in this upcoming series.
How about that? A guy in Germany who's an Astros fan bitching at people in Boston for being too negative.
I wish you hadn't cut that guy loose.
Good thing you didn't listen to it, too.
He was really
in
Germany.
If you had a better phone, I would have kept him on.
Think he was really there?
Yeah, we get calls from other countries every now and then.
On TV now.
Dog barking in the background. I couldn't believe it.
It's a big show you're on, Dan. I don't know if you know that.
What time is it in Germany right now? Shouldn't he be
9 hours ahead?
Six. Seven, maybe?
Six. Six and a half, seven.
Guy called from Germany. He had a French poodle barking.
Yeah, it's 6 hours ahead. It's 6:13 there right now. It's 6 o'clock at night. Not crazy. You know what it ends up being a lot of times, Dan? A lot of guys who are in the military. Whether it be guys from here or guys from elsewhere that are just catching up on their teams.
Nice.
What's going on? We get a lot of that here. A big deal.
The Zamboni's out now.
You know,
any of you guys watching Better Call Saul?
I didn't watch the season finale. Don't tell me.
The German guys.
Oh, yes.
Remember, they're all German, building the lab?
Yeah.
I love that.
Don't tell me what happened this week, though.
I won't. Yeah.
617-779-0985. We've got Dan Shaughnessy with us.
Just let me drive it.
No, you're not going to drive the Zamboni. We're at the Warrior Ice Arena. We'll be back after this. Here's the action update.
Zillack and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us on Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior Ice Arena. Bruins getting ready for their matchup at TD Garden tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. Practice says, morning skate, I should say, has come to a close. So there's no more pucks banging around in the background. It's a lot quieter here, but it is still very cold. Very cold, but this is a great place. And it's open. If you want to come down and watch the Bruins for a skate before one of their games, you can come in. It's open to the public.
Bring your jacket.
Very cool. Very cool to
literally
see them up. Yeah, but like to bring your kids down here if you can play hooky for a day or do it on a weekend. Like,
kids are free, right? It's a free thing for the kids.
Yeah, anybody
free
can public. Come on in.
I mean, parking's free.
I don't think that's
I think they validate you.
Yeah, yeah. You still have to pay, though. It's a reduced rate.
You probably have to pay.
Don't promise things we can't deliver
okay.
on.
Okay, I don't know.
But there's street parking outside.
Yeah, you can park right outside. There's a lot of parking in the area.
I parked in the street.
So
this place is great.
It's really, this is the first day zone I've been here.
Yeah.
What a nice place. Everything about it is very nice. William is in Boston. He had a Patriots thought today. Hi, William.
Good to be on with you guys. This is William Bendington, my great friend, Scott Zolak.
Is not William Bendington. It's from Patriots Pulpit, Patriots Review.
Maven.
Yeah,
Maven.
Patriots Maven. We got the best Patriots coverage in the business.
And, it's Bendington.
Is it?
Yes.
No, this is the William Bendington, the distinguished.
I give you credit. Your questions lately in these press conferences have been very good to Coach Belichick. Very good.
How would you grade them on the scale? A, B plus?
I'd say D? B. I'd say B.
B level?
Yeah, I'd say there were some certain ones in recent weeks that were A plus.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. But he said in general.
Oh, in general, overall, yeah, B plus for the season.
We watch your videos all the time on Facebook. Love them.
Love the coverage. I just love Scott Zolak. What can I say? I mean, there's no better show in the fifth quarter than Scott and Steve.
He's trying
I want to ask
TV.
You, though, do you think the fans are getting a little, or the fans, or maybe us in the media, not me, getting a little carried away with the RPO talk this week? It's not a new concept.
Look at it. That's a good take there, Bendington. Where are you going, Dan?
We got Krug here.
But
is that real? Is that really him?
Yeah, that's it.
That's really him?
That's Bendington. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. What's up, buddy?
How you doing? Nice.
Huh. Come on down.
RPO talk. You can answer that question on RPO talk.
I mean, the RPO, would they play in a Super Bowl? Run pass option. How'd they deal with that? I don't think it's carried away when you get smoked the way they got smoked against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Is it a huge topic this week?
No, it's not like they got smoked like the Bruins did in that first game. But
What a shot. What a shot. That's no way to treat a guest.
Hey, DeBrusque.
Torrey Krug, by the way. Bruins defenseman Torrey Krug with us.
DeBrusque is looking to take your gig, man.
He's good at this.
He's pretty good. Oh, this is right here?
Yeah. Torrey Krug is like, good, let him have it.
Save me time on game days. Yeah,
I put the turn signal on at one time the whole time. That was a good one. Where'd you do that at?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Came on. We were at the Star Market studio down in the garden, and he was in traffic somewhere. No. The signal was going all the time. Come on.
The things you remember and the things you forget.
Correct.
It's unbelievable.
I can't get inside your brain.
How you feeling, buddy?
I'm good, yeah.
Without getting into detail.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's a bad situation. Just some bad luck, but I just wish I was out there playing with the team and trying to now, and hopefully that is a good sign for a quicker return than normal. Yeah.
I wish to have you out there at least on that, you know, that first game. But, you know, when you look at the team right now, and obviously you're watching defensively how things are coming together, how do they look right now, and how are they looking in front of Halak, who it looks like we're going to see tonight?
Yeah, they look good. I think, aside from the first game, that's kind of one that gets thrown out the window, one of the most lopsided games I've seen. And then, the next two nights, big wins for the club. There's still obviously a lot of things that need to be fixed, and I still think the other team's getting a lot of chances in the slot that we kind of need to regroup as a team and shut things down. But we need cleaner breakouts, and then hopefully our guys, the talented guys up front, can take the puck down and go score more goals.
You know, when you get to the start of a year, I know from a fan's perspective, everyone thinks too, okay, build on what happened last year. Build on that, get better, go deeper in the playoffs. Does that factor in at all? Is last year just a thing in the past, something you're not thinking about? Or is that sort of part of your goals for the year, you know, your outlook on the season?
Well, it's tough because, I mean, last year I think we surprised a lot of teams, and that's probably a headline that everyone keeps resorting back to, is this year we won't surprise teams. And that's true. People will now know all the second-year guys. They know their tendencies. They know what they like to do with or without the puck, where they can exploit them. So it's going to be harder for them. As far as looking at last year, the season, and trying not to you know, force expectations on guys. Well, it is something that happens naturally, and you want to always improve from year after year. And we know that we have a team that can go deeper in the playoffs, and we could have last year. We just came up short, and now we got to go back and start from scratch, and it's square one again.
But you've got young guys on your roster, so without, you know, changing the composition of the roster in a big way, you can get a lot better year to year when you have a lot of young guys, good young players who are continuing to improve. Developed. You look at this team and think we've got a better team now than we did a year ago.
Yeah, you do, because there were so many unknowns last year. We didn't know who was going to play up front, who was going to score big time goals, and now we got a couple guys up there that have you know, big contributions. And even on the back end, we didn't know how Charlie was going to do over an 82 game schedule. Grizzy came up and kind of stole a spot out of nowhere, and now these are guys that are we rely on big minutes from all season long.
Do you feel your role changing on this team? Because, you know, it's tough to think of Torrey as not like, you know, not like one of the young kids, which you're not anymore, you know, compared to some of the children coming in here. You're one of these bridge guys, you know, for a team that has great veteran talent and some really young. You are part of that core middle group now. Do you feel your role changing? And if so, how has it changed from, say, a couple of years ago when you were still considered to be one of the, you know, one of the kids, one of the newbies?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely a little bit different. Like you said, I fall into a very small group of guys that is in that middle-aged group. You know, we have some older guys. We have the young bucks that are coming up, and I'm one of the few guys right in there. So just trying to bridge the gap between those two generations, if you will. But it's been a lot of fun for me.
You have to explain, you know, like, who some of the musical artists are to, you know, the young guys. And
some of the verbiage, some of the words.
Yeah, Rush stuff with the Bruskin. He's like, dude, I was born in, like, 96. Yeah, you know? And it's like his dad listened to it.
Those guys speak a different language where he, like, if you guys wouldn't understand what they're talking about right in front of you.
We talked about this with you last year. That creates natural division within a team because of common interests. We do this with Brady all the time, too. Brady tries to act hip and do the dancing and musical stuff.
Except he's now in his 40s.
Right. Except he's like 41, but yeah, I'm down with Fetty Wap, you know, and he listened and just to like ingratiate himself. Does it look like the team is together more from being around each other?
100%.
That's
and
great.
That was evident last year, to be honest. It wasn't an awkward thing where you're trying to force two groups together or the young guys onto the old guys. And it was just a natural thing that happened, and we all have each other's backs. It's a really tight group. We've been saying that for years. We have a great locker room, and it starts with our veteran leadership group, and just works its way down. It's a trickle-down effect, and it's been great.
Zdeno Chara is another year older. You see him slowing down even a little bit?
No, he's the best, man. It's even in practice, if you guys were able to watch practice behind you.
He was giggling up here because he's trying to flip the puck up and it hit the high part of the net. And he just didn't want to take out, like, you know, he's going to have to pay for the camera if he hits it. But who the hell hits this wall back here?
Yeah, right? It shouldn't happen very often.
It does. There's marks all over it.
But, you know, he's been awesome. He's just so competitive. There's nothing like that in our sport. You know, he's something that you likely won't see for a long time. And, you know, it's been fun being around him. He's definitely, over the course of my career, you know, 6 years being around here, he's changed a lot. And, you know, all for the better, too. He's been great.
Patrice has had every injury in the book, too. I'm watching him work out. He looks healthy as hell. Had the hat trick again. 3 hat tricks in a calendar year. Pretty good for him.
Yeah, he's... you know, promoting the no preseason games for us. He doesn't play preseason games. He goes out and he's scored a bunch of goals.
It works well for the rest of the team.
Yeah.
I've heard that, though. I've heard guys across the league who have sort of started to complain about 4 preseason games, saying, what's the point?
Look at the NFL. Look at the NFL. It's stupid to have it at times.
Do you feel like it's needed?
I think it's needed for sure. I mean, I was coming back from an injury and playing one game. I'm trying to get my timing back.
Depends on the situation.
I mean, look, that's 2 years in a row I was hurt in preseason games and missed some time in the regular season. So, but in reality, you need those games to get your you know, everyone's in great shape. Your conditioning wise, everything's fine. But there's nothing like battling in the corners against another team. There's nothing like the energy that you expend, you know, emotionally when you're involved in a game. There's nothing like that. So you need those games to get you back on track.
It's the first morning skate I've watched, like being around it. I'm amazed that you guys do that on a day of a game. Like
you know what?
It wasn't like 20
minutes. I'm glad
there's no other sport that does it like
that. I'm glad you brought it up.
It's like a full-on practice. Yeah.
Just putting the gear on, which I mean, you could do in your sleep now, but it's a process just to get dressed and then get undressed. Then you're going to go home, and then you're going to go over to the garden tonight, and you're going to do it all over again. Does it ever seem odd to you that you go through all that twice a day?
So we get the option right around Christmas on. Butch does a great job of making sure we're not getting worn down, and he gives us the option most game days. And I don't skate once. I'm the guy that, you know, no pregame skate. I think it's a everyone has different opinions, but I do think it's a waste of energy. And I get the fine tuning your skills, making sure you feel comfortable, so that when you do get in the game, it's you know, second nature. And there's guys that like to come out. Berge, for example, will go out, take, you know, 5-6 shots. Mm-hmm. He's out there for 4 or 5 minutes, and he gets right off, and he goes and gets dressed. So
it takes longer to get dressed than it does to go out there and skate.
Yeah, but you know how it is, like your process. Routine. Everyone's out there routine. Yeah. They got to be right within their routine to feel right when it's real by the time the game starts. Well, Tori, great seeing you.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, Bruins defenseman Tori Krug with us here on Zolak and Bertrand at Warrior Ice Arena. Hardy has our headlines, and we'll be rejoined by Dan Shaughnessy. He's got a great story to tell about meeting up with Reggie Jackson at Yankee Stadium the other night. He will tell us that, and Dan's date's coming up at 12:50. Don't forget, at 1:30, another chance to win Patriots tickets for Sunday night's game against Kansas City.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins take on the Oilers tonight at TD Garden. We just finished with Tori Krug, who will be joining us here periodically throughout the season. We are live at Warrior Ice Arena in Brighton. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers will have the call, starting with the pregame at 6:30. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock here on the Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network, driven by the award-winning Honda Accord. It's going to be Chris Sale versus Justin Verlander Saturday night in Game 1 of the ALCS. Sunday, David Price gets the ball at Fenway opposite Garrett Cole. NLCS gets underway tomorrow night. Dodgers visit Milwaukee. Patriots will take on the Chiefs at Gillette Stadium on Sunday night. The NFL week begins this evening as the 2-3 Eagles visit the 1-4 Giants. That's your Thursday night matchup. And Jimmy Butler requested a trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves a few weeks ago, showed up to practice yesterday, and got into a lot of back and forth with fellow players, coaches, even the GM, who at one point he yelled, "You effing need me, Scott. You can't win without me." Headlines are brought to you by the Peterson School, training the hardest working people in the trades since 1946. Sign up online at petersonschool.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle, 98.5
This is the home of the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
You need a big blast is what you need to get something going, to shake up the bat racket. There it goes. He really sat on it, and that's what he wanted to do, and he hasn't reached first base yet. He just now touches it. It's going to take him 20 minutes to make a round trip.
'77 World Series, game number 6. Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, 3 home runs, and a young Dan Shaughnessy was in the clubhouse covering the game and famously ended up on television cameras standing next to Reggie Jackson. Young Dan Shaughnessy with his big hair.
It was a Forrest Gump moment.
Really was. Right there. Really was for Dan Shaughnessy, who's much like Forrest Gump. So what happened? You saw Reggie in New York?
Well, sure. I saw him before Game 3. You know, he hangs around the cage. He's got some sort of adversary, of what do you call it, advisor capacity.
Sure.
There. And so, yeah, I went over and We started chatting, and somebody took our picture. I think you might, the guy Sweeney, he's a radio guy in New York.
Oh, Sweeney Murdy.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
I wasn't aware anyone took our picture. We were just talking. I was just trying to get some, I was talking about bets and postseason and guys in October. Do you ever see guys get tight, you know, swing, kind of miss their pitch, et cetera. We were just kind of going over. And I remember I said to him, you know, it must be, you know, it must be cool to just be defined by Mr. October. Like, it never goes away. It never goes backwards. You're always that guy. And, of course, Reggie, he's not Mr. Humility, so he was happy to hear that. He's great. And so I went to Sweeney came over and said, hey, I sent you that picture. I didn't know there was a picture. So I twinned it up with the picture from 1977, where 41 years ago I'm standing next to him, and we're in the same space, basically. It's a new stadium, but right next door. And, you know, October, 41 years later, and I thought he had held up a little better than I had over the 41 years. But in any event, so the next night I was down talking to him again before game four. He did not think the Yanks would recover from that either. He said, you know, he
said it was over.
He was dubious about that. And so I showed him the pictures from the night before, and he just took my phone out of my hand and sent them to himself.
So he wanted to have a record of you and him together?
Yeah. But I now have his number. Because it was like, that was the key, because he just took the phone and just did the thing. So if you guys want to get Reggie on the phone, we'll just call him up, and I'll say, yeah, it's
your friend. He was actually at our station a couple of weeks ago.
Sarge.
In the building. He does some radio work on Sarge.
Oh, that's he's got a show now, I think.
He's got a show,
yeah.
And he was doing it. He was in Boston, and he did the show from our station.
Wow.
Yeah, he was at the Sports Hub on a Saturday morning, I believe.
He does size these things up. In 86, he was on that Angel team, and you're too young, Beetle, but the Red Sox... I know you know your history, and they were, you know, that's the Dave Henderson home run. They're down 5-2 in the ninth inning. They're going to wrap it up. It's over, and then, boom, Henderson hits the home run after a Buckner home run, and the Red Sox, after a Baylor home run, and the Red Sox win the game, come back. So they came back with a, they're still down 3-2. They come back to Fenway, but after this miraculous comeback in game five, and one of our friends saw Reggie at a bookstore down near the Sheraton, where they were staying, and said, hey, Reggie, you're back. What about the series? And Reggie said, we're gone, man. No way we're coming back from that. And they did. They just laid down 2 games in a row, and Clemens beat Mike Witt in Game 7. It was Clemens' only postseason win in 9 starts. So David Price, have that. Clemens started 9 postseason games for the Red Sox. He won once. And it was 7-1 against Mike Witt in Game 7 after Reggie had already admitted that they weren't going to come back.
Right. So Donnie Moore never really recovered from that either.
Donnie Moore, it was even worse. There's a Pap story about that. Do you know the Papelbon story with Donnie Moore?
Papelbon has a tie to Donnie Moore?
I know. So it's like, you know, Papelbon, a young guy like yourself. And this is like, fast forward. Donnie Moore, of course, it was in 86, the infamous pitch to Henderson. A year or two later, you know, he shot his wife. He killed himself. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was
horrible.
It was bad.
It ruined
the guy's life.
Horrible thing. And guys like 20 years later, it's Schilling and you know, Derek Lowe and Pap's the young guy in the room. I think they're in the trainer's room or something. And the video comes up about famous closers' bad moments. You know, Niedenfuhr and, you know, Eck against Gibson. And they show the Donnie Moore pitch, and one of the veterans says to Pap, well, yeah, that one, you know what happened to that guy, don't you? That really ended badly. Guy killed himself. And Pap goes, after the game? Like, no, not after the game.
Typical.
Oh, sorry.
No, right in the middle of the game, actually. Right there on the field.
Okay. It was a year or two after the game.
Yeah. It's a couple of years later. But
it was not in the moment.
Bad ending. Yeah, bad. Pap.
Yeah, that was such a perfect thing for him to say.
617-779-0985. Billy's in Rhode Island. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Bill.
How you doing?
Good.
Billy.
Good, good. I know we're beating this to death, but as far as this Price fishing second, it makes sense to me. I'm going to tell you why. Why would you put the guy that's been on the news the biggest guy they're talking about in the postseason, why would you put him in a hostility environment than a Houston ball club?
You got it backwards. The hostility is going to be here, not there.
Hostility, they're going to cheer
like they did in New York.
Yeah.
It's the best thing to do. Because if they lose one out of two without him going first, he's got even more pressure because they have to win in Houston.
But, Billy,
so
ask yourself this.
I like it where it is, and I think it's a good move. I think that's the only way to do it.
So, Billy, do you have confidence in David Price and his ability?
Billy?
I'm going to say yes, I guess, because you wouldn't be saying that otherwise. And that's what I think it comes down to. Because if you ask, if you believe in him, and you're asking the question, should he start once in the series or twice? If you believe in him, you're going to say twice. If you don't, you're going to say limit him. And I think this conversation has moved a little bit, Dan, because go back to the night and day after his start in the Yankees series. You know, it's not just us or fans. You know, Michael Silverman, I believe, and Buckley were right. They were writing, this guy can't start again. You can't hand this guy the ball again in the playoffs. And now it's, okay, he's going to start, limit him to one, to now he's just going to pitch normal like nothing ever happened. The conversation right after that start was, you can't possibly hand him the ball.
Well, Beetle, I joined that chorus. The last line of my thing said, it's either got to be an opt-out, a trade, or an exorcism. I mean, something's got to give. We can't see this again. And here we are less than a week later. Boom.
Dan's dates coming your way next on Zolak and Bertrand.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by New Pro, Scott Zolak's Home Improvement Company. Cold weather's coming. Get your home ready with new windows, doors, siding, roofing, and baths. Follow Zoe and the pros to New Pro. Call 1-800-GO-NEW-PRO today.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Are you all right, Zoe?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cold.
Okay, time for Dan's Dates. Dan, you ready to go?
I am ready to go.
All right. Hit it.
Okay, October 11 is today. Birthdays on this date. You think it's Hall or Oates? It's one of them.
Ooh, oh, it's definitely Oates. It's Oates.
It is not. It is,
damn, it's John.
It is Daryl Hall. Daryl Hall. Is he the dark-haired guy or the blonde-haired
guy? Blonde-haired guy.
Blonde-haired guy?
Doesn't matter.
All right, Daryl. Oates is from, he was just at a game. Like Cleveland or Philly?
They're both from Philly.
He was at a playoff game. Okay, he was at a playoff game last year. How old do you think Daryl Hall is?
I'm going to say he is 66.
He is 72, going strong.
Ooh, looks good. Looks good for his age.
Better than ever. Actor David Morse is 65 today. I love David Morse. He was in Contact. He was the dad. He was also on a TV show. Big TV show. One of those hospital shows. He was a doctor.
Saying Elsewhere, I think.
One of those, yeah. Okay.
So you love him as an actor.
I do.
He was the dead dad. He was the dead dad in Contact.
I mean.
What's her name? Purdy?
Jodie Foster.
That's Hope Floats.
He was also in a basketball movie called Inside Moves, the John Savage.
Ellie.
Oh, that's good. Zoe, how old do you think Steve Young is today?
Well, I'm going to go 54 or 5.
He's 57. Joan Cusack is 56 today. Love Joan Cusack. Good in everything. Luke Perry is 52 today. Artie Lang is 51. Jane Krakowski is 50. Oh, right in a row. Okay, there's a rapper. Anybody ever heard of MC Lyle?
Nope.
Okay. No. See, I say that, and then you guys go, oh, everybody knows him. But in this case, no.
I mean, they're all right. Like MC.
He's
like
47. MC, all right, there's a rapper named Cardi B.
Yep.
Yeah, I know who that is.
My kids listen to that.
All right, Cardi B is 26 today. And
who's Fetty Wap, Dan?
And
who? Fetty Wap.
I don't know. What's the Lil Wayne thing with the Giants? What's going on with that?
Well, hold on. There's an MC Light. Who is born on this day, October 11th.
Yeah, I thought it was Sparky Lyle. I don't know.
MC Lyle. Lyle Lovett. I guess he does some rap along with his, you know, Texas swing.
But what is the, you following the Lil Wayne Giants thing? Something going on with it.
Can't say I am.
It was all over the tabs this week in New York.
Kind of.
It was a lot with Odell Beckham or something. I don't know. It's a big connection. It reminded me of Lil Wayne's place in Patriot history, which is Tom Brady's injury. Which we've been down that path multiple times, so I won't do it again. Michelle Wee, the golfer, she's still in her 20s, 29 today.
Oh.
Okay, stuff that happened on October 11th. In 1809, over 3 years after his famous expedition with William Clark, Meriwether Lewis was found dead in Tennessee. My parents' suicide. I did not know that.
Who to three in a canoe?
Lewis and Clark, one of them killed himself.
Sacagawea.
And Sacagawea with the headdress. Because they had, like, all the history books, they're rowing the canoe.
Lewis and Clark?
Yeah, and Sacagawea.
Well, he only made it to 35, Lewis.
Killed himself.
Who knew? I did not know that.
Yeah, probably tired of exploring.
Something that him and Donnie Moore haven't gone in.
Oh, jeez. After the game?
After the expedition.
We are bad. Okay, in 1884, Eleanor Roosevelt was born in New York City. That's how Archie went.
I go right to wedding crashers.
Yep. That grandmother.
FDR, what a thrill. Oh, he was a lovely man. But the wife?
That's okay. My only grandma.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything.
A real.
On October 11th in 1910, Theodore Roosevelt became the first former U.S. president to fly on an airplane on a flight to St. Louis.
In 1910?
Correct.
That seems now, a little early.
Now, he was Eleanor's uncle. He was Eleanor's uncle.
Yes.
Yes. And was also related to FDR. Like,
well, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He was the uncle to the woman that he married, and Teddy was like a fourth cousin or something to FDR.
As I'm sure I have crazy. Said before, Teddy Roosevelt is also the reason that football fields are 53 and one-third yards wide, because he was president of the U.S. in the early part of the 20th century when the governing body of football, college football at the time, wanted to widen the fields because the lads were getting hurt. And the president of Harvard called Teddy Roosevelt, a Harvard man, and said, "You cannot allow this because our stadium has nowhere to expand because we are concrete poured 1903, and
so that stadium right up the street here,
they're the reason,
a couple of blocks over,
yep,
is the reason why they never widen football fields.
Wow.
Yep. What a great little nugget.
And if you look at it, there's nowhere to go. I mean, there's hardly room for the players on the sideline there.
That's true.
It's reinforced
true.
Concrete,
yeah,
built after the Roman Coliseum, 1903. It was a modern miracle.
It's a hell of a I mean, to go, we do the Brady thing every year.
Yeah, well, you always think of that. I mean, go there. That's the reason.
I go there and I walk it. Yeah. We get there early, and I'm like, this is a really cool stadium.
Tremendous place.
Just cement. Like, where's the dead lines at?
And so the horseshoe, the enclosed end.
Where they eat the people.
The enclosed end, the portal where the players come out, it says in the pursuit of manly deeds. You couldn't put that in stone anymore either.
How's a dead lion eat a person?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, it was built at the Roman Coliseum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was, you know, reinforced the arches. The
that
whole thing.
Part I got.
On this date in 1962, Pope John III convened the first session of Roman Vatican II. On this date in 1968, Apollo 7, the first manned Apollo mission, was
big
launched.
One.
And that led to, of course, Apollo 11 in 1969.
What Apollo was that?
13.
Well, that was not
14.
On this date, on this date in 2002, Jimmy Carter was named recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
He's still alive.
He's still alive.
How's his brother doing? Billy.
Oh, I forgot about
him. Billy Carter
gotta,
still with us?
He's got to be gone. Can't be.
I'll check on that. I'll open the tab right next
drank
to
too much beer.
Right next to MC Lyle. Hold on.
Some baseball things that happened on this day.
Oh, I got a big one on this day.
Well, I think we're going to get to the same place. So going further back, Beatle, in 1967, the Impossible Dream Red Sox pushed the World Series to 7 games. By beating the Cardinals 8-4 in a day game at Fenway. There were 4 home runs hit in the game, 2 by Reggie Smith, 1 by Yaz, 1 by Rico Petrocelli. On the same date in 1970, Tony Conigliaro was traded to the California Anaheim Angels. And the one you're going to get to, Beatle, it's got to be the Pedro game?
Yes.
Yes. Would that be 98?
Nah, 2003, but close.
Oh,
only
wait.
5 years off.
The one against Cleveland?
Oh, I was going to get to Pedro and Zimmer. 2003 on this day.
You've got me there because.
Sorry.
Yeah,
okay. You're talking Pedro Game 5 in Cleveland?
Pedro Game 5 in Cleveland.
Oh.
It's 8-8 in the fourth inning, and it's just a jailbreak for both sides. No one's left, and he comes out of the bullpen. I remember the clock stopped at Jacobs Field. For some reason, it just stopped. And he pitched 6 hitless innings. They win the game 12-8 and move on with that. So you're telling me that the day of the dust up with Clemens hitting. Oh, no. Pedro hitting Kareem Garcia.
Correct.
And there you have it.
Zimmer was 73 at the time.
Yeah, he was very embarrassed by that. He was very apologetic.
Billy Carter been dead for 30 years.
Yeah.
Now we know.
He died in 1988.
No. Hey, it's a good thing we have Matt McCarthy here, because I saw something here in the dates that would really, something that's really impacted his life.
What's that?
Which would be 1975 on this day, 26-year-old Bruce Springsteen. Had his first pop hit with Born to Run.
That wasn't him. That's McCone.
No, that's me.
That's
I'm,
you?
I'm one of those Springsteen
You weirdo.
Guys.
You yeah, freak.
Which album
times.
Was it? Which album
Born
was
to Run.
It? Born to Run.
Born to Run. Born to Run changed your life.
Changed his life.
Absolutely. Best album ever made, my friend.
I went to Springsteen. I walked out of that concert. It was one of the worst concerts. Probably the worst concert I've ever been to in my life.
And everybody else there said it was the best.
And everybody else.
I guess that's a you problem, not an us problem.
Weird music I've never heard before. No, thank you.
Best show he's ever
worst
played.
Worst money I ever spent on a ticket.
Like, what's wrong with
that? I want that 2 hours of my life back. Beatle was with me. He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I was.
Hardy, are you familiar with Jungle Land? The tune?
The best.
I go Jungle
Low. Yeah, I know the song.
They played it at that show.
The piano. There's a lot of deep piano at the beginning.
Remember
piano
that? They
phenomenal.
Jungle Land.
My daughter walked down the. I walked her down the aisle to the opening chords of Jungle Land. And it's beautiful. Strings and piano music. So, Zoe. What's wrong with you?
I'm getting chills now just thinking about it.
1975.
Yeah, chills because it's cold.
There's some other good ones today. 1975, this was the day that Saturday Night Live debuted.
Ooh, wow.
First SNL was on this day in 1975.
You go back. No, it was before Ote. Go back and watch those classic first couple of seasons of Saturday Night Live. Tell me it's good. I dare you.
Was Chevy Chase on it?
Chevy Chase was year one or year two, but he left like really early. He was only on, maybe only on for the first year.
Yeah.
A couple of odd old-timey baseball ones here.
In the year
I got some old-timey ones that I would want you to do in your voice.
A lot of
baseball.
Stuff happened on October 11th because it used to be the World Series.
A mail car explodes in a train robbery in 1923.
What the hell is going on?
On the Southern Pacific train.
Oh, on the Southern Pacific, known for their exploding train cars.
Is that one?
How about
Yellow Fever breaks out in Philadelphia in 1793?
A case of yellow fever. Running rampant throughout the city of brotherly love.
Death toll hit 100 on this day.
100 dead due to the yellow fever. How about this one? 11 October, the year of our Lord, 1911. Ty Cobb and Frank Schulte receive cars for being chosen the first ever most valuable player in their respective leagues.
Wow.
So they were giving away cars as early as 1911 for MVP awards. Which
Volta
is
cars?
What's that?
Motor cars?
Motor cars. They were both given motor cars known as the Chalmers Award, sponsored by Chalmers Automotive, a Detroit-based automobile company. And then, as late as 59, there were barnstorming teams. Mickey Mantle's AL All-Stars and Willie Mays' NL All-Star barnstorming squads. They had they played a game, cost $2.50 to get in, home run hitting contest between Hank Aaron and Rocky Colavito.
Wow.
I don't know who that is. But these were guys out there just trying to make an extra buck as late as 1959.
They made like big money on
Colavito?
Those.
I don't know from Rocky Colavito.
He was a Tiger legend. Yeah, sorry.
Not while I was alive.
Didn't these guys make all kinds of big money doing that when they would do the extra stuff in the offseason?
Sure.
The barnstorming is where they got more of the cut. More than what they were making playing the game for the Yankees.
I would have thought 30s, 40s, you know, 50s. This was 59.
Well, the Yanks didn't make the World Series.
It was a different world back then.
It was a different world.
Had to replace the World Series shares. That's why they're out there.
Oh.
All right, Dan, appreciate your time. We're running a little late, so we got to kick you out.
Thanks, buddy.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, joining us here at Warrior Ice Arena
today.
Hardy has our headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials.
You want him to stay?